Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again, either through our friends online or through the radio dial at WYAD 94.1 FM, through DCNowRadio.com, or through Atlantis106LiveRadio.com. We're glad you all could join us today. You know, this time of year, a lot of people are thinking about resolutions for themselves. A lot of people are headed to the gym or thinking about quitting different habits. Our next guest has written a book, though, that I think will give us a real wake-up call as to what we truly are doing, not only with our lives, but also especially with our bodies. We're excited to welcome to our program today Dr. Tim Loy. He's the author of the book Unintentional Suicide, A Doctor's Guide to Preventing Disease. This is a book that is a real eye-opener. I know when I went into this book, I thought, wow, I think if more people thought about what they're doing to themselves, I think they may look at decisions they make a little bit differently. But Dr. Loy also gives us some great tips as to how we can begin to turn things around. So we'll talk to him not only about what led him to write the book, but also what he hopes it's able to do for each one of you. Dr. Loy, hello to you, and welcome to the program.
Hi, Cyrus. It's nice to be here.
Hey, the pleasure is definitely all mine. As I was saying, you know, I think this is one of those books that will, I mean, because of the way it's presented, will not only allow us to look at the different things that so many people that either us or individuals that we know and love are going through and think about the causes of these things and what it really is doing to us and how we can, as I said, begin to turn things around. I mean, what has it been like for you to be able to already see the way that people not only are responding to the information but also to the suggestions that you offer?
Well, it's really been fun to go through this. This is the first time I've ever, you know, tried to write a book, and it was a good experience for me. And then it really just came online today, so I haven't got a lot of feedback. But what I have got has been positive, so it's been very rewarding.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think for myself, and I'll be sharing my thoughts through our friends at Amazon.com for sure, Dr. Loy, I think the thing that really got me is that we all know someone who is, especially cancer. I think that's a big one, that everyone knows someone who's been, you know, infected or affected by it. I think the way to know, though, that the things that are happening to our body, that many times just by the way that we treat ourselves, by the way that we go about our lives, that can contribute to a healthier lifestyle. When you share just that information. I mean, the fact that we have a lot more control over what happens to us, and I think a lot of people realize, what is it like for you to see that light bulb go off?
Well, yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. When I used to be a surgical pathologist, I read biopsies for a living, so I diagnosed cancer every day, and it really had an impact on me, you know, given all these cerebral diagnoses all the time, and it made me, you know, wonder if there's a way I could do to help prevent it, because lots of times it's a lot easier to prevent a disease than to treat it after it forms.
Right. Exactly. And I think that, again, is what you're able to address. And, you know, some of the big ones that are in the book that I know we hear a lot about, of course, are lung cancer, breast cancer, prostate cancer. But then there are other things, too. And I think this is interesting, like diabetes. And you gave, you know, some personal examples as well, how even people, you know, like yourself, I mean, realizing how you have to be able to watch what you're eating. I mean, that's something that all of us really, I think, you know, have to think more of. I mean, what was it like for you to share your own personal experience, because you're someone, you know, who knows to take care of themselves, but what was it like for you to realize that, you know, even you had to be careful as to what you were eating and what you were taking into your body and what to avoid?
Well, that was kind of education for me, because, you know, I thought I was living a healthy life. I didn't smoke, I didn't drink, I ate what most people thought was a pretty good diet, but I had a strong family history of heart disease. And, you know, I'm getting older. I'm 57. And when I started writing this book, I was 49. And my cardiologist told me I should get my cholesterol checked, and it came back a little higher than I thought it would be. And it just shows, even if you think what you might be doing a good life from society's norms, there's still a lot more you could do.
Right. Right. Now, I bring that up for a couple of reasons, though, Dr. Loy, because, again, people will look at you and say, well, you know, I mean, I'm in pretty good shape. You know, I'm feeling good. There's no need for me to really change anything. Yeah, it may be a little high, or you know, it may be something I need to pay attention to, but I have time for that. I think there's a big difference, and you address this even in the book. It's one thing to know. We know these things are out there. But it's a totally different thing to then take action. I mean, why is that, do you think, the most difficult thing for people to realize? That, you know, yeah, we know what smoking does. Yes, we know what alcohol does and the effects of STDs. What, you know, what has it been like for you to see, though, how people have really struggled with actually putting that into practice?
Yeah, I think that's the hardest part, at least in American society, is a lot of people, like you said, a lot of the information in the book is pretty well known, but maybe not known as much as the total impact, but most people know what's a good and what's a bad lifestyle. But motivation is the hardest part. And when I was reading biopsies, I would often see a report where the patient had smoked for 50 years, now they had a lung mass and was coughing up blood, and they said he quit smoking, you know, a week ago. That was a common history I got. Well, something happened, you know, in the last week that got his attention. And what got his attention was he started coughing up blood. He started realizing there was something there. So that's kind of educated me that people can get the motivation, but they have to experience something. And the goal of this book is to give them a look at what I have seen before it develops in themselves, that maybe they can change their lifestyle before something bad happens to them.
Yeah, I think that is so interesting. Now, one of the things that is on the very cover of the book, and I got some questions about this, Dr. Loy, when I first posted on Facebook today that you were going to be on, is that the warning that's on there, the graphic images of disease inside. Now, you know, I have to say, as someone who does not even like to watch horror films, you know, some of them I kind of, you know, cringe a little bit myself in seeing. But isn't that also part of the point to realize that it's not just a picture. This is affecting someone's life, and it could be affecting someone that we know's life.
Yeah, to be honest, this is one of the hardest decisions I had in putting this book together, as whether to include these pretty graphic pictures of, you know, pathology specimens and patients that have, you know, cancer and gangrene and so on. But like I mentioned before, the whole premise was that if people had seen what I had seen as a pathologist, maybe it would give them motivation to change. And actually, the editor, who was very helpful putting this book together with me, suggested that I leave them out. But I pulled a lot of other people, including my sister-in-law, who's a principal of a middle school, and she said, if you want to reach kids, you got to leave those pictures in there. So I ended up finally putting them in there.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have to say, you know, there's that old saying, you know, scared straight, where the kids are taken to the jails and shown what it's like. I think that is one of the things that will, I think, give people some reflection and some pause as to how, again, they are affecting their lives. And not only the longevity that they can have, but also just their day-to-day, you know, activities as well. And I think that's the thing. I want to say for those who are just tuning in, either on the radio dial or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. We're excited to welcome to our program today Dr. Tim Loy. We're talking with him not only about the book Unintentional Suicide, A Doctor's Guide to Preventing Disease, but also what led him to write the book. And, you know, you are someone that I thought about what you just said, and that was something I had read as I was prepping for the segment, Dr. Loy, that it's because of the work you had done that made you want to share. I mean, this is something now that you've been able to make really a family affair. When we get to the part of the book where you're giving us the exercises, you know, the different things we can do, you talk about, you know, your own son and what he's been able to do and using social media, using YouTube. I mean, what has that been like for you to see that by your making the decisions that you have and sharing the information, how you've been able to help other people do the same thing?
Well, that's another thing that's been, you know, very rewarding to me is that, as you mentioned, my son Nathan is a personal trainer, and he puts a lot of free videos on YouTube called Quick Tim Workouts, where people can get a good workout without having the expense of a lot of equipment, and something they can do at home and within 10 minutes. And so things like that will make it easier for people to, you know, put into practice some of these suggestions.
Right, exactly. That is so true. Now, you mentioned the amount of time that went into this book. I can imagine that that is one of those things that, I mean, every project I think is time-consuming these days. But, I mean, to be able to give so much of yourself to a project like this has to be an amazing thing. You know, do you feel as though it's just a part of who you are to be able to, if you've learned something, to want to share it?
Yeah, I mean, it's, as a pathologist, I see all these bad outcomes, you know, and it's kind of like if you're on top of a hill and you see people driving down the road and you know that you can see that the bridge is out and they're going to go over the cliff, you know, and that's kind of how American society is going. These things we just do without thinking are actually very destructive to our health in many ways. So, you know, I felt like I had to try to get the word out that people could do better.
Right. You mentioned the middle school, I think you said the middle school teacher, or was it the principal? That you mentioned. You know, I'm glad you referenced that, because one thing I think, you know, and we hear this all the time when it comes to certain things, is the importance of starting early. Do you think that is one of the things that we have to, especially for those out there who are parents, especially Dr. Lorda, realize they have to start early in helping their child to be able to make those decisions that are going to give them not only a healthier life, but a more productive life?
Yeah, I mean, I think the information in this book can help almost anybody. I mean, you know, once you're to end-stage disease, there's not a whole lot you can do about it. But the sooner the better. And if you could, I would love to see kids, you know, embrace this. I'd love to see this get into some of the schools, because I think that's where you could really have a big impact on somebody's life.
Right. I bring that up because of one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about. I mentioned to you that our show is simulcasted. We're not only online through our great friends, but also on the radio dial in my home state of Mississippi, WYED 94.1 FM. And, of course, Mississippi is unfortunately on the top of a lot of the wrong list. And one of the lists that we're on the top of has to do with obesity, unfortunately. And and in the book, you address that, actually, the topic of obesity. For those who don't have the book, make a note of pages 158 and 159, because there Dr. Loy mentions this. I want to read the stats, though, that you began this segment of the book with. You say the World Health Organization estimates that 1.4 billion adults and at least 40 million children younger than 5 are overweight. It is projected that 2.3 billion adults will be overweight by 2015. Now, here we are now at the beginning of a new year. I mean, those numbers are staggering. And with all the information that is out there, I think, you know, we have to then look at food. Food is one of the things that, going back to your own personal story, Dr. Loy, you shared that was one of the things that you did, and you actually began more of a meatless diet. Now, there are some people out there who will kind of frown up about that and think, okay, you know, giving up meat. You know, I think, you know, and we've talked about this on this program in the past, but, I mean, why for you that you think that was what you needed to do, and how has that affected your life and your health?
Yeah. Well, fortunately, the same diet is helpful for almost everything. If you're looking at heart disease, if you're looking at trying to prevent cancer, a plant-based diet with not much meat, fish is okay, but not much meat, is very helpful. And when I looked at my own cholesterol numbers, I wanted to do something to change. And when I switched, I got a dramatic response. And I think, and I'm somebody with a strong family history of heart disease, so I think that could happen with anybody. Unfortunately, our culture is centered on eating a lot of meat. That's what we talk about, what we ate for dinner. You know, that's what we talk about. So what we put our meals around. But if we could shift into more of a plant-based diet, it would have many, many benefits.
Yeah. In the same section of the book dealing with obesity on pages 163, our audience will definitely find a lot of great information from 163 to 166. A couple of things in there kind of surprised me, I have to say, in dealing with, you know, what we can do to start turning things around. I want to talk about those with you, Dr. Loy. One of them is to stop eating before you're full. Talk to us about that.
Well, when I did research on this, the hormones that tell you that you're full, that you can stop eating, it takes about 30 minutes for those to kick in to get to your brain and tell you that you've eaten enough. Unfortunately, a lot of us eat quite, eat a lot and eat it quickly. And we keep eating until we start feeling full. And then that's, you know, I've experienced this. Is many times half hour, an hour later, we feel like a beached whale, like we've eaten way too much. And that's just, you know, we aren't giving the mechanisms a chance to kick in and to help us, tell us when to stop eating.
Yeah, I think that was a big one for me. I was really surprised about that. The other thing is, of course, we always hear about drinking water, and this is one thing what I love about doing this show, because I talk to a lot of doctors on this program, Dr. Loy, and I get some great tips that I'm then able to use first for myself and then to share with other people. And this is when drinking water is something that I definitely have worked on myself, drinking more water for the past couple of years. But you share something in that, even on page 164, for those who have the book. It's point number 5, drinking water. You say this about, of course, we know about the sugary beverages out there, but you say water is cheap, healthy, and calorie-free. And then you go on to say, by drinking water before and during a meal, we may become satisfied with fewer calories. Drinking a couple of glasses of water after a high-fiber meal can also help fill your stomach and satisfy your hunger. So it's a point in that, you know, not only drinking more water, but especially when it comes to our meals, making sure that we are drinking water as part of the meal.
Yeah, I think both are helpful. Sometimes we eat when we're really mainly dehydrated, where we really need mainly fluids. But also, when a part of your satiety, what tells you that you're full, is how full your stomach is. And so when you drink a lot of water with a meal, it fills your stomach, particularly if you've got some fiber in there, which kind of plumps up with the water. It fills your stomach and helps you be satisfied with eating less.
Yeah, I think that is another big one. And this last one is one that I think, again, is really interesting. We mentioned stop eating before you're full, but the very first point that you mentioned on page 163 is don't eat unless you are really hungry. Now, let me tell you why this surprised me, and then I'll have you talk about it, Dr. Loy, because I've heard people say, you know, one thing you don't want to do is starve yourself. You know, that you should make sure that you're eating, you know, eating a little bit throughout the day, and, you know, and don't wait until, you know, your stomach starts to growling, that kind of thing. Why is it important for us to not eat too much, as well as not to eat too soon?
Well, a lot of people, it's very easy. You see food, and you're not really hungry, but, you know, you're tempted by the food. You know, it's somebody brings food into office, or you go to a celebration, they have a lot of food there. You might eat for other reasons, because the smell of the food entices you, because of the social aspects, and it might not really be because you're hungry. So sometimes we overeat in that way. And there's some hormones. There's a hormone called ghrelin, which is supposed to tell you that to not eat as much, and it's related to the amount of fat in your body. A lot of people that are overweight have high ghrelin levels, which would tend to make their hunger diminish, but they're still eating more. And so I think this does come into play, where they're stimulated by something besides their body telling them they need to eat.
Right. And again, that is why it's so important for us to really pay attention to our bodies and to be able to think about those things, because just those little things can make such a big difference when it comes to obesity, for sure. Again, everyone, you're listening to Conversations Live. We're speaking to Dr. Tim Loy today. We're talking with him not only about his new book, Unintentional Suicide. We're about to tell you here in a moment how you can stay connected with Dr. Loy, but also what led him to write the book and what he hopes you're able to take away from it, not only as you're beginning a new year, but as you're looking at every day of your life. The last thing I want to talk to you about, Dr. Loy, is the importance of exercise. I referenced your son earlier. You devote a great section to the book, and as you did with the graphic images, there are some great images here of some exercises that we can do. And what I thought was so good about these is these are things that we can do at home. I mean, was that important for you to share, that people didn't have to go sign up for a gym membership, that they could really, you know, be able to get themselves, as I have, an exercise wheel, you know, some dumbbells from Walmart, and be able to do, you know, some great things with their body at home?
Yeah, I think to be successful, you need to keep doing something. And that's, a lot of people will, you know, the New Year's resolution, when I go to a gym, there'll be a lot of people there in January. By March, you know, there's not near as many people there. A lot of people fall away because, you know, if it's time-consuming, if it's expensive, it makes people less motivated to do it. So if you can work it into your daily routine as easily as possible, it's a lot easier to stay with something.
Right. So true. Again, a great reminder for all of us, for sure. So for you, Dr. Loy, I mean, I know the book is just coming out, but, I mean, what is your hope when people finish going through the book, when they hear you discuss it in conversations like this, and think about what you're sharing about what we're doing to ourselves? And I think that's the big thing. No one is making us do it. You know, we're doing this to ourselves. What is your hope that they will then be able to think about as they're looking at their lives and what they can be able to do to turn things around?
Well, just that life, there is a great opportunity here. We can really improve ourselves with fairly simple lifestyle changes. Now, some of them, like you said, not eating meat is going to get people's attention, and it's going to take a little while. I mean, I was a big meat eater, and it did take me a little while, but I'll have to say now I really don't miss it. You can do a lot with improving your health with simple lifestyle changes, and you can help those you love improve their health by simple lifestyle changes. So it's just that there's a great opportunity for us to have a better life.
Yeah, I think that is the thing, and I think that is why, you know, we have to be willing to not only to think about ourselves, but think about what we can do for ourselves to be able to not only to live a healthier life, but also a more productive life as well. Again, everyone, Dr. Tim Loy has been our guest. Great conversation with you, Dr. Loy. The book is entitled Unintentional Suicide, because, again, we are doing it to ourselves, whether we mean to or not. And some of the things in the book we definitely know are not good for us, but Dr. Loy is able to help us to see not only what it's doing to us, but also how you can begin to make changes starting today. The book is available through our friends at Amazon.com. Dr. Loy, how can our audience stay connected with you?
Probably by email. My email is tloy@rossu.edu. I check it every day. I'd be happy to hear from them.
Okay. Well, Dr. Loy, thank you so much for the time today. I really appreciate it, and I hope you'll come back. We'd love to have you back on the program again.
I'd love to have another opportunity to talk to you, Cyrus. It's been my pleasure. I do mention that we have our own website at unintentionalsuicide.com, and we have a 30% off discount code, particularly if you want the e-book. It might be helpful. So.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, good. Thank you so much for sharing. And so give that website out again, Dr. Loy.
Unintentionalsuicide.com. If you just Google unintentional suicide and my name, Tim Loy, it'll come up. So particularly for the ebook, it's a better value than Amazon, although both would be fine.
Okay. All right. So unintentionalsuicide.com is the website, so make sure you guys head over there as well. Dr. Loy, again, thank you so much for that. Really appreciate it, and definitely looking forward to the next conversation with you. For our radio audience and those joining us online, we appreciate you all for tuning in to another edition of our show. If you all came in late and you missed part of the conversation, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available through our social media sites at facebook.com/CyrusWeb or go over to twitter.com/CyrusWeb. Just click on the link there. You can listen to the show completely for free and share it with your friends from there. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.